Absolutely. Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for October 5th, 2025. Nancy, you cash flow kitten, you. I'm so happy you are back and we can talk about this more. I did hear the call from last time. A lot has gone on in my life, so it's not all in my brain, but I was definitely like, oh, I was, when I heard it, I was like, oh, I hope she comes back. Because if she has producing skills, there's a lot of job opportunity for you.
Great. So feel free to then flip my questions if you think that you already know. Okay, great.
And I love that you used the weekly planning chart and then it was useful, that you found it useful.
I'm low-key obsessed with it. I actually just did my weekly review, and even I'm visiting family, and normally I don't get anything done while I'm here. And I was really able to say, you know what, I need 45 minutes, and like knocked a couple things off, and I'm like, okay, now I'm available. And then it's like, you know what, tonight at 6, I have to take an hour. And like when it's clear like that, when it's delineated, it's really easy. And I can look at my list and say, I can do this in an hour, or I can put in an hour's worth of time on it and move it forward, you know? And so it's been really, really helpful. Thank you.
I'm so excited. I really love it. I mean, I made that so long ago for a very creative client of mine,
Yes.
and it just has served. It's a good little tool.
It's great. I love it.
So, okay. Now, one of the things I talked about this on a money mindset call, I think the last one, where in this day and age, I think that it's important to be pursuing whatever your soul is here to do creatively.
Yes.
But then the financial part of it is like, okay, where do I get the money that I need to survive?
Do you know that's really I think that I found you guys through Audrey Helps Actors, and I think that she helped me really. I was kind of like, well, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Like I book jobs and I get residuals, and then I've watched my residuals like tank because of streaming. They're just not what they used to be when it was on network. And I was like, I'm not making enough money. Like I need to make more. So there's a lot going on at, as I said in the last call. But even if everything works out in my relationship, I still need to bring in more money. And I think that Audrey and you guys have sort of helped me frame that it's not just going to be acting. It's going to be acting plus cash flows.
Right. And it's not that the plus has to be like awful and arduous and something you
Yes.
hate. I mean, we do not want it to like suck you of all your life force.
Yes.
It just might be just something you do,
Yes.
you know?
Yeah.
And if it is just something you do, what I'm always interested is then it's taking as little of your energy as possible. It's something that's easy for you to do. It's something
Yes.
like, oh, this is kind of like breathing to me. These are just my superpowers, and I can do it. And it doesn't take a lot of energy, or there's not a steep learning curve and low overhead. Now,
Yes. Can I also, I in between me sending in this question and now, I almost forgot this because I so much has happened in that short period of time. My friend was like, oh, hey, I hear that you do budgets and we need an update to a budget for this feature that I'm working on. And do you do that? And what would your rate be? And the rate is the big question that I have. And again, it feels like a guarded secret. Like no one will tell you how much they charge. And I'm just like, can you just like somebody give me a break? Like it's can someone just help me figure this out? So I literally have like a job potentially lined up now.
Okay, great. And isn't that called a line producer? Am I correct in that?
Yes, but that's another thing. I get a little confused because I think line producer actually sees the project all the way through.
Okay. Right. Yeah, usually they're on a project doing.
Yes.
So this is just a part of it, but you
Yes.
could Google around about line producer rates.
Yes.
and see and kind of extrapolate from that. But let me just ask you a question.
Yes.
So, how many hours do you think it would take for you to do this job?
so I tracked the hours the last time. I didn't do it. I've done two, and I work in conjunction with my creative partner. We did a short and we did a feature this year. The feature was 77 pages and it took us about 35 hours.
And what did you charge for that? Or did you,
Not
if that
enough.
was your.
We charged $500.
Yeah.
Yes. And part of that was like a friend rate because, and it was also the first time we were doing it. The first time we had done a feature. But when we calculated it after, it was like, oh, yeah. It's like $14 an hour.
Minus taxes, so that's like minimum wage.
That's not great. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is an important thing because you can't just like pick a price in a vacuum, you know? So, one of the important things to be able to articulate along with your price is how your service will impact and improve their bottom line. So what would happen to them? I'm asking you this question to tell me, what would happen to them if they just had like their cousin do their budget and like slap together some numbers and be like, I don't know, like the what ramifications would that have for them?
Sure. I mean, I think the ramifications of having someone just like slap something together is that once you get into production, you've misbudgeted. So you don't have enough money to cover what you actually need to cover. There's a misunderstanding about how much money you need to get through the production, not even talking about post. But I mean, it could really stop things up. And if it doesn't stop things up, it's probably going to go on somebody's credit card. And then they're going to have to figure out how to pay it afterwards. I'll one up you, Christine. I don't know how other people are working, but what we handed over to them, because I think because we're women, and I think because we really care, like my creative, like we don't do things half-assed. So what we handed over was not like just the prelim budget and the prelim schedule, but it was like a list of questions that they should be thinking about, the assumptions that we made while we were making the budget. If these assumptions are incorrect, these numbers need to get adjusted. Do you know what I mean? Like it was like a report. It was like a two-page report of like things to consider while you're walking, while you're budgeting and raising money for this project. It was the woman who was directing it, who has directed other features, was like, this is very helpful. This is very, very good. So,
Okay, and so what's another thing that could happen if their budget is not done by someone with the care that you and expertise that you would be giving it?
I mean, there's a million things that could happen. I guess you wouldn't be able to attract the kind of talent that you think you can get because you haven't budgeted appropriately for your positions, or you're insulting people by coming in with sort of lower than low because it's already indie, it's already low. But if you don't have a decent idea about how much people even in that stratum get paid, you run the risk of coming off amateur.
And so if it was a 35-hour project and you're both working on it, are you like working what is like half the time you, half the time her kind of thing, or were you both working all 35 hours together?
No, so we worked together in conjunction as we were doing the breakdown because it's just easier to have like a second person. And then I do the budget and she does the schedule.
Okay. And so, how much looking back on that project do you feel like, oh man, I wish we had charged this much because that would have felt like good and right?
That I don't know. I have like a whole little breakdown of like, I don't know. I might have a, that might be a mindset thing.
Definitely is a mindset thing.
yeah, I don't.
What's your concern about picking something or claiming something?
Well, I think going back to what I just said is because I don't know how much people actually charge. And I know I'm beginner, so I could start at a beginner rate, but because I don't even have that range, I fear coming off as amateur. Like I don't know what I'm doing if I'm giving a rate that's not in the ballpark.
So it's an indie project. So they don't, first of all, we know two things. They don't have a lot of money and they don't want to spend it on you.
For sure.
They don't want to pay anything for a budget. They just know they have to have one. And your job is to clarify for them why this is an important line item in their budget, paying you to make their budget, is because if you have to fix things on the fly when you're in the middle of production, you will fix them. They will cost more than were if you were able to pre-plan for them and get deals for them. You will pay top dollar and it will likely go on a credit card. And if you do not have the cash to pay off that credit card right away, you're going to now pay like triple now because of the interest. So this saves you money because it anticipates the problems so that you don't have to fix them at the most critical, stressful, and expensive time to deal with them. Critical, critical, stressful, expensive. Those are the words that you're helping them avoid. Critical problems, expensive, and what was the other one?
Stressful.
Stressful. Also, having a professional budget helps you attract the level of talent that you want and the expertise that you need, and it makes you look more professional. This is an enhancement to the reputation you're building. The reason they're doing this whole project in the first place is to build their reputation in the industry. This is likely their calling card. And it's not just the finished product that's their calling card, it's how they do the project that is part of their calling card, who they can get, but also what people think of them when working with them. And there's a lot of people who never get off the ground in this industry as filmmakers is because nobody wants to work with the chaos again. Or that's one, nobody wants to work with the chaos again. Or two, they do a good job, but they run themselves financially into the ground so they can't do the second project. Everyone hopes the project they're doing is going to be the meal ticket to something that then they have the budget for. But sometimes, what if you need two or three? Even the Safdie brothers, I just heard an interview on The Business with this one of the Safdie brothers talking about, whoa, how they got their first couple projects and they thought, oh, this is going to be the big one. And then, nope, they had to do a couple more. Like, you don't want to run yourself into the ground making this more expensive than it needs to be. But you won't have a clear picture of that unless you invest in someone who can give you the clear picture of that. So your job isn't as a person who's selling service. It's not just the service part that's your job. It's you painting the picture of why it's valuable for them to give you the money is because you understand the issues that run into and you're going to help them avoid those issues. And the more you can speak compellingly and clearly about that, the more people are like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I didn't think about that before, but because your job really with this clientele, especially, is to teach them why your role as the budget person is important. Because they don't want it to be important, so they don't have to pay for it. Understandable. So you can re-listen to this and get that language.
Yes.
So then, we know you did a good job with your last one. The person was very impressed. You kind of over-delivered, certainly for $500. So let's pretend this is going to be the same size of a project. You know it's going to be around 35 hours, so 15 plus for you, 15 plus for her. What would make you feel like that was a worthwhile investment of your time to get what in return?
Still having such a I hear all of it, and I still have a hard time saying something.
Okay, so it was $500. It was 500. That's what you quoted last time. How does that number make you feel if you had to do that project again for $500?
I wouldn't.
And you got 250 of that, right? Okay. So you wouldn't.
No.
Okay, so what is 1,000 feel split between the two of you?
It feels a little bit better, but I don't know, maybe. I would probably do it, but
And
it
how
wouldn't feel
enthusiastic would you
great.
be about it doing it?
Yeah, not super great. No.
Yeah. What about 2,000 split between the two of you?
That starts to feel better.
Okay. Well, that's another way of doing it because you kind of hit, yes, you have to position it where the market will bear, but part of the market bearing is how well you can talk about it. But you also have to position your price at a price that makes you feel like, ah, okay, cool. I'm kind of happy to do this. Maybe not excited, but happy. Like I can do it. And it feels like a quality return on my investment of my life force into their project. They're renting your brain because you could be doing something else for your life and career. But you're like, oh, okay, well, if you want me to take my brain and turn it on your project, then you have to give me something in return. So, what's good too is to quote a price that you can walk down from. So, you and your partner need to go, okay, we would be like super happy, super fine if we get $2,000, $1,000 each. But if you really want to get $1,000, you're going to have to at least charge 2,200. So taxes are kind of taken care of a little bit. So then if you want to get, so if the what you're shooting for is 2,200, you have to quote higher. Because if you say 2,200, there's nowhere for you to go. Because you know they're going to come back and be like, well, can you please do it for this? So you want to say a price that you can be like, they come back, go, oh, and you go, well, okay, what were you thinking of? Well, we can't do it for that, but we could give you the friend's discount. We can give you and then you bring it down to 2,200. So what might be the price that you could feel could come out of your mouth without you having like convulsions while you say it? Like practice just saying it.
Well, the good thing is that I'm an actor, so
Right. Yes,
I
you
can
film
pretend
too.
I'm comfortable with
That's right.
it. I don't know. If I was feeling bold, I'm so my first thought is 25 feels like something I could ask. And if I was feeling bold, I would say three.
Okay. Great. So you can quote anything between 25 and 3, and then walk it down. If you need to 2,200, and then it's like, yay, okay, cool. And then you'll do it, and then you'll be like, that wasn't enough. But that's how you stretch. That's how you stretch. The other thing, though, because let's acknowledge this kind of fell into your lap. It's not like you were out pounding the pavement to get this. So if it
Yes.
goes away, when things kind of fall into your lap, you have the opportunity to be like, oh, well, I'd happily do it for this amount. And if they want to pay me, great. And if not, I'll go work on my other stuff, go
Right.
find money in a different way. Instead of like, oh, this fell into my lap and I have to get some money. Because when you have the like, I'll get some, that's when you just lowball yourself to get some money.
Yes.
So this is a mindset thing of like, what are my priorities? What am I working on in my life? Do I even want to do this project? Okay, but I will, but I need to like be paid for it.
Yes.
And if you can be like, respond back to the person, I talked to my partner. We definitely think we can help you. And in fact, this is how we can help you to do all the things I just articulated. And we're happy to lend our brains to your project. In fact, I've enclosed a sample of what we delivered on our last project. And what you do with this sample is, okay, I'm assuming it, you, one of the pages was like, here's the lists of assumptions.
Yep.
But you redact like the last two-thirds of every sentence. So they're like, oh, they're like, they see it's the start of questions. And wow, there's 12 things. And we gave them this, and then we gave them this list of questions, and you redact it. So they can't use it, but they
Right.
see and they want to know what's at the end of all those sentences.
Yeah.
And then you show them the budget, but you redact part of it. You redact the prices, you redact some of the, you could just have the main categories. You're just giving a taste of like, wow, it's not, we're really actually giving you documentation. And then you go get a quote from the last person who was like, wow, this is really helpful. So that you can say, and we've included sample deliveries of what we gave the last person we worked with, and this is what she said.
Great.
It was this amount of pages and it was this thing, and we gave a page with questions and assumptions because, and you have to say, because why is that page of questions valuable? Because these were things that she wasn't necessarily thinking of herself. We're looking at it from our perspective, and we're giving you part of the value of our services. We're giving you our perspective so that you can then overlay it on your perspective and make your choices based on that. And there's some things that, if we have questions or concern, we'll lay all of that out for you. So you don't have to wonder if we're guessing and trying to guess what you really tell them what they're going to get. And then this is how much, if you want it, it's this much money. Let us know. And you can quote, let's say you quoted 2,700 and you're like, that's our basic rate, but let us know if that, how that, how, let us know how that fits with your project, not if that fits, because if is binary, it does, it doesn't. Let us know how that fits. Well, kind of, and then you'll get an hopefully an answer.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, oftentimes people are afraid, like, oh, but if like I quote too high, they'll just like go away and disappear. And I'm like, well, then they're not great business people because most people negotiate, come back to the table and be like, well, I want you. How about this? So if they just kind of ghost you and go away, it's like they may probably weren't serious anyway.
That's right. It, that's it. That's actually really important because I do that. And sometimes, if I ask for someone's rate and they come in with something really high, I say, I know you're worth every penny. This is how much I have budgeted. It's minuscule. I understand that. Is there anything that we can work out? Like that is absolutely. And they sometimes they say no, and I say, okay, the next time when I have a bigger budget, I'm definitely coming back to you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that totally makes sense. It's important to remember. Yeah.
So, this is lovely that you got this client. It gives you a wonderful low stakes opportunity
Yeah.
expand your ability to quote higher than normal. That's great. And if you get it, that's great. So, what you were asking here in your question was basically like, okay, there's some ideas of how I can use my skills and my strengths. And my background as a producer in different things. Some were inside the industry, some were outside. of the industry. I really think that you can definitely have a little thing over here on this, a little side hustle to a side hustle, where you can do stuff like this, budgeting. You would need to spread the word around film things and whatever. But as far as like, that's the audience that I'm going to target, these indie filmmakers, as Cricket mentioned earlier, and she was not kidding, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to convince people to pay you enough for you to get enough money. And the industry is on a downward turn. It's not downward, but it's contracting. And we've had a couple decades of expansion, but that is not where we're at. And building a business on the backs of people who don't have money is going to be rough. And there's people out there who have traction already, a little bit more. And I understand in some circumstances, then what you do is you just come in and undercut. But I'm not sure there's enough work to make even enough money with the undercut now. Maybe in the past, but not now, I don't think, in this industry. And when you have the skills you do, and I'm so glad you wrote them all down, so you yourself could see this, because what all this really amounts to is project management and people management. I could probably throw any type of project to you, a project that is a project has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and steps that need to be sequenced and executed, and then sometimes people managed around the execution. I bet you I could throw any type of project your way in any type of industry, and you'd be able to break it down, work with people to get it done. You're not doing the expertise of the actual, but the steps, the flow, the deadlines and timelines, that's producing. So I would love, and I think that you would be able to start now and really build inroads in a different type of industry, producing for different type of industry. And then when you want to, and when you're able to, and when it's fun, you can use those skills in the artistic world. But if you want to create cash flow, you have to look at who has money that they want to give to a problem that they have that I can fix. But indie filmmakers are not people in the best of times who have extra money.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's not to say that over time you wouldn't, luck always plays a part. You could find the right person, get in with a good circle, and get passed around. That's great. If that happens, fabulous. But I would not want to see you put your time and energy and money trying to build over there. I
Okay,
think
that
that
makes
would
sense.
be a slog.
Yeah.
So what I would recommend is you start looking outward and being like, who has projects that need organization and management? Who has teams of people that need organization and management? Almost regardless of the industry. Who just needs my skills, and who wants to pay me a lot of money to do it?
Okay.
They value it so much.
Yeah.
As a producer, you can do almost anything. The next question I have for you, I mean, like, because it's all the same thing, getting something from start to finish.
Yeah. Assigning
And
money to it. Totally. Yeah, it is.
that's easy for you because you're like, that's easy. Superman isn't like, oh my God, I'm flying. He's just like, oh yeah, I'm flying. It's like not special to him. It doesn't feel special. So your superpowers don't feel special. But you have to know that they are special because not everybody can take something from beginning to end on time and on budget. But you can. And there's people who have visions and want things done and don't, Dad, they're not the people to do the project, nor do they want to, and they will pay someone to do it for them. And that's where you come in and be like, happy to do it. So my next question to you is, do you want to be entrepreneurial or do you want to just get a job?
So there's a part of me that says I want to just get a job, but I think it's partially because I'm a little fatigued. I've been doing this for a long time. And it's a grind. That being said, I think I started doing it because I don't love having having someone tell me what to do every day. I don't love it. And yeah, I think that that latter thing is stronger than the fatigue that I have by it. I think I would rather be entrepreneurial than sort of having to answer to some, because you never know who you're going to have to answer to. And sometimes they are not the best. And that's the worst to me. It is the worst. There is nothing that will fatigue me as much as that. So entrepreneurial.
Okay, great. And so then it is about, and I would start at the major job search sites and just look at project management thing. Just like start to be like, what type of people, what type of industries, what type of jobs are looking for that name?
Okay.
Because then you can be like, oh, here's a little vein that I might be then able to approach independently and say, you don't have to have somebody as a full-time employee. You can just hire me a la carte to do projects.
Okay.
And then you can Google around project managers and see if you can find anybody who's calling themselves that, like independently, and see how they're structuring their business and what they do. And it'll just start, letting the neurons fire in your brain and help you start like making connections, because you might stumble across an industry or a thing and be like, that's a job?
Right.
That exists. Like, someone's doing that. That's how I found professional organizing. I was like, holy shit. That's a thing? Are you f I couldn't believe it. It was like I had felt like I won the lottery. It was back before Google, So I just read it in a magazine. I was like, someone does something like that I've been doing my whole life because I thought it was fun. So you want to kind of find that. And chances are, what has happened to a lot of people is they start out doing something like this, a la carte, freelance. And then someone goes, oh my God, you're amazing. Work for me exclusively. And they create a job for you and you like them and they like it. Like, so it can end up like that.
Yeah.
So there's a gal that I met long ago when I was an organizer. And what she did was a job she kind of created for herself. It kind of like created for, so she was working for, she was the nanny for some wealthy people who started to do some renovations on their house, but they were traveling. So they're like, can you please, like, follow up with the contractor, just make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be and they're on time and doing. And because she, and she just turned out to be really good at that. And they were like, you're really good at that. And so that's what she did. She just was like, if you are doing renovations for your house, but you're traveling and have a really busy life, I can come in and project manage that whole thing for you. You have your contractor, you have, and they have their subcontractors, but I will just take that off your plate. So you only have to talk to me and I talk to everybody else. Like, and that's what she did. I was fascinated because I never heard that as a job before. So that's a, but I bet she could produce a show.
Yes. Yeah. I tell people who do project management all the time, They're like, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, oh, you could definitely do it. It's really just project management. And it's funny that you brought up the construction because we did like a major renovation on our apartment like right before COVID, and I managed it. Like I was there, and I was like, what's happening? Like, you said this was going to get done today. Like, what's the deal with this? They were supposed to start. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just did all of that because that's what I do. Like, it's just an impulse. It's just like very natural to me.
Yeah. And where do you live?
Brooklyn.
Okay. So if you lived out here on the West Coast, I'd immediately say you could specialize in people who are doing ADUs because that's a huge, little dwellings in their back. So these are people who, before now, probably never thought of like building a building, but now they want to build a building so they can rent it out. They're doing it for the first, a lot of first timers. So I'm sure there's people who have become specialists in just doing that. So think of what's going on. And this is just, we're just talking about like construction, and you don't even have to go into that field. But I'm just like, what's going on that people are starting to do where they don't really have the expertise to like hand that they might want some help handling? But there's other industries for this too. Like that's just off the top of our heads. Now, the real challenge for you isn't the doing of the work, it's the pricing of the work. It's valuing yourself and taking a chance. But here's the thing, there's nothing for you to lose because you're not earning anything from this now. So deciding, well, I want to earn $10,000 every time I take on one of these jobs. I'm just pulling that number out of my head. Well, there's no harm in asking it because you're not, it's not like you're going to lose 10,000. You just might gain 10,000. And for you, what I think the way that I would start this business for you would be one step farther than you think you should start at. I really think you should be like, well, I actually need to earn $6,000 a month, or I actually need to earn $10,000 a month. So I have to create a service where every time I get a client, it's that chunk of money. It's that much money for a project. So somebody has to be doing this big a project so that my little chunk of it is just like an added expense. That's like, yeah, well, it solves a lot of our headaches. That's what you're doing. You're not project managing. And this is marketing. It's the steak. If you read the cash flow, I talk about sizzle and steak in marketing. So read the cash flow course, I
Module?
guess, for lack of a better word. The steak is I project manage. The sizzle is I take away your headaches. I just make your headaches disappear because that's what they want. They don't want a project manager. They want these headaches to go away. And that's what you do. You say, I and let you cross the finish line on this project without it compromising the life you're loving to live. Your life doesn't have to slow down. I will help you cross this. You can, huh? What was something going on when I said that? Another place to look at, just to sort of see, is look at the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Consultant. They have a new name, National Association of Professional Organizers, because there's organizers that specialize in project management. There's also people who are fully employed managing people's homes. They're not maids, they're not assistants, they home managers for rich people who have like four homes, and they manage. You could totally do that. So I really want you to start stretching your brain about like what is out there in the world that literally pays money for me to use these skills that are easy peasy for me. And then to look at it as an adventure of like, I am going to get used to providing a service that people pay me well for because they value my brain. And then you just charge, and then you charge, and you charge, and you charge, and you charge, and you charge. Okay.
Okay.
So how does that sound? As does that feel like it gives you kind of some next steps?
Yeah, it definitely does. And I feel energized by it. Like my energy is up.
Yeah.
So I think it's great. I'm excited to start the brainstorm and the research and all that.
Yeah, and this would not necessarily be the strategy I'd recommend to every person I'm talking to, but when you have the collective experience and skill set that you have, you got to start reaching for the top shelf. You don't need to start with the bottom shelf. Just reach for what you want, which is a chunk of money every time you book a client.
Yes. That would
Yeah.
be great. I would love chunks of money.
Chunks of money, chunks of money. Chunks
Yes.
of money are cool. It's so fun to get a chunk of money because then you're like, oh, it's enough to put like this away and then pay that off. And then,
Yes.
yeah. And it's not always where you have a life where a chunk of money comes, but they're fun and they help you do things financially in a different way than a steady stream of income. Steady streams of income are good too.
Yes.
And when you can have a steady stream of income plus chunks of money, oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the chunks of money are sort of like when you get, like when you book an acting job, if like if you're on for a week, you get a check for a chunk of money, and you're like, ooh, look at me. It's very
Commercial is
exciting.
renewed after 13 weeks, and you just book
Hey.
a
Chunk of
yeah,
money. Yeah.
fun. But you really have to look at, like, especially in your situation of like, I actually need to start pulling in this much to make my life function.
Got it.
So
Yes, that makes
then,
sense.
what service can I build around that amount of money versus this is what I want to do? How do I find, what the market wants? It's like, no, I'm going to create a service that's a $5,000 service or a $10,000 service. And then you just get your first client. You get one client.
Yes.
And then you tweak it from there, like, ooh, I needed this more for this, or I don't want to do that part. Like, yeah. And then you go to the next, get another client.
Yes. Yes. It sounds great. And like I said, just I know from the way that I feel that it's in the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And what is the thing that you do creatively? Like, do you use films? Like, what is your.
I'm an actor.
Okay.
And then
That's right.
it
That's right. You said that
yeah.
because, yeah. So we want you to be able to still do that,
Totally.
but we want to take the financial pressure off of that.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's still the joy of your life.
Yes.
And that money is the gravy money.
Yes.
The vacation money, and this is your survival money.
Yes. Great. I love it. Thank you
Oh,
so
I'm
much.
excited for you. So keep coming back and we can keep
I
talking about
will.
this on your as the journey progresses.
I will. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Christine. And I thank you for look at like I feel insane.
Oh.
It's so dark here. I could have turned on the light, but I
Black
didn't want
box theater.
to. Like
Yeah.
it's like so. All right. Thank you so much. I will. Yes, exactly, Kate. I will definitely be back. Thank you so much for all of this input. It's really, really appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome, Nancy. Hi, Collie.
Oh, Kaylee.
Haley.
Yes.
Well, it'll only be 100 times. Got two down.
All good. Hi. I am so glad I logged on today because that is all that is exactly what I needed to hear. I have also been thinking about project management, but I've been like on, LinkedIn and like tappy, tappy, tappy. And it's like 5+ years of experience and me. And I'm like, okay, I know I have these skills. I know I'm good at these skills. When I like forced my friend group a couple months ago to make a WhatsApp with different channels so we could track all of our different things that we're doing. Like, no, we have a channel for book club. We have a channel for, movie recommendations. We have a channel for general. We have a channel for D&D. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, trust me, you're gonna like it. And they do. That's my shit. I don't. So you said for Nancy, where she should start, because she has a bunch of experience. I have produced my own short film that was like the hardest and most rewarding and most amazing I've ever felt in my entire life. I was like working so, like working every day dedicatedly to this thing. And I was like, this is the best. And everyone was like, you're so good at this. And I was like, I know, I love it. But that's like the only thing professionally that I could like write on a resume or give anybody as experience, professional experience in that realm. So I guess that's where I'm coming up against, because I'm like, I know I can do it. My survival jobs have been HR administrator, and customer service, for and Starbucks, and server, but I was not a good server. So I'm like, none of those are like, pay me a lot of money to do your project management and manage your projects. Just the one, film producing thing that I did. So that's kind of where my sticking point, where I'm like, I feel like I know I have skills, but I feel like if I try and present my skills to other people, they're going to be like, okay, but where have you applied these skills where other people have given you money for them? Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so what this means is that you're probably not going to get clients. Now, do you want clients or do you want a job?
Honestly, I'd like clients, I think. I've never had clients. I've always had a job. And it's really scary to me, the idea of having clients. But my dad's a small business owner. Like, it's I know the life of a small business owner. It may be difficult, but it is ultimately rewarding, I believe.
Yes, and now's the time to investigate that. You know what the job, you know what having a job is. So you should investigate this so you can really then know, like, ooh, I prefer one versus the other. Because right now, one's just conceptual to you. You're like, I don't know, sounds okay. Okay.
Also sounds terrifying, but
Yes.
also could be really good.
So the thing is that you're not going to get hired through the front door, meaning LinkedIn, Indeed. You're not going to find clients who want 5 years of experience because they're too afraid to know how to interview somebody. So they just want, it's all bullshit. So you're not, that's through the front door. And good news, everyone's lining up at the front door. You're going to get a job or your next client through a side window or the back door. It's going to be somebody who refers you to somebody or someone that just like takes a chance on you. And there's a bunch of people out there. And this is where you can come in and undercut the market to get your first couple people and then get a reputation and then raise your prices. And I don't mean like bottom dollar. I just mean like, we're just going to slide in slightly under. So someone will be like, I'll pick you. Now, when I started organizing, I had been organizing since I was like 13 years old, my sister's room again and again and again and again. And so I just heard that this thing existed, professional organized, printed up a business card, and I just started telling people, oh, yeah, I can do this. Oh, I can do this. Yep, I can do it. Now, it was a new industry, so nobody knew what it was even. I even had to kind of tell, describe to them what I would be doing. But here's how you spin your situation. You've just been like, oh my gosh, I have been doing this and doing exactly this for friends and family for so long. And now I've just decided to take my show on the road.
Do you know how many friends are like, can you be my accountability buddy for this? Can you
Of
like
course.
make sure, can you like text me at 3 p.m. on Sunday to like make sure I did this thing? And I'm like, absolutely. And I do. And they're like, oh my God, thank you.
There's a lot that can be gained from just deciding you can do it. And then just finding who your first client, the person you can convince that you can do it. And that usually comes from a referral, a friend of a friend of a friend, or you hear, but you have to just start telling people, this is what I want to do. I'm looking for people who need this or this or this or this. So as an organizer, I was like, if you ever hear somebody just be like, oh my God, my home doesn't work for me anymore. I gave them language to listen for. And then when you hear somebody say that, you say, ah, I have the girl you need to talk to. So for you, it's sort of like, what do you want to do? Do you want to run somebody's house? Do you want to, come in kind of as an organizer type of person who's just tasked with, because there's organizers that do the physical, but there's organizers that just do business systems. There's organizers that just do tech for people.
That I would be very bad
Yeah. So it's like,
at.
well, what do you actually like? What would be your ideal? Like, oh my God, this would be so cool. I wouldn't even believe I was getting paid to do it because it'd be so much fun. Like, what? Give me a scenario. What's one scenario where you'd be like, yeah, I'd do that.
I'm struggling to even think of a single industry besides the ones you've
Don't
even.
think of an industry. No. I want you to think, okay, this is good because I think people do go to like industries. That's not what I'm asking. So before, when I was talking to Nancy, I saw out of the corner of my eye, we were talking about like bad bosses, and you were like, yeah, working for the people that suck. Okay,
Yeah,
so I want you to
awful.
describe to me someone who would hire you that wouldn't suck. Like, oh my God, I want them to be like this type of person and have this kind of thing and this kind of problem that I would be coming in to solve for them.
Well, besides, I think the obvious of like cool and nice and respectful.
Yes, that's always a good start there.
I feel like somebody who like just is so willing to. I feel like somebody who just has a lot of things on their plate and wants to, like, has enough money, has the resources, again, like you said before, just to be like, oh my God, I trust you. I'm not gonna micromanage. I will a answer your questions when you ask them, and I'm not gonna get mad at you for asking fucking questions, clarifying questions. But otherwise, here is, I mean, yeah, I'd fucking house manage. That sounds kind of cool. But like here is I not physical stuff because sometimes that kind of gets messed up in my brain, but like I love a spreadsheet. I love a schedule. If you're like giving me schedules and like talking to different people on the staff or in like you mentioned construction. I don't have any experience in construction, but my dad, the small business owner, is a developer. He has been in construction my entire life. My boyfriend is an architect here in Los Angeles. I feel like I have a lot, even though I personally don't have a lot
You're
of
not going to be doing
experience, I'm
construction.
not going to be doing
You're going to
it.
be doing scheduling and all the things you know that just happen.
Right. So that I'd fucking do that. Yeah.
Okay. So you need to schedule. Or you don't need to do anything. I recommend you schedule a meeting with your father and say, look, I have this area of brilliance that I think could be applied to your industry. Can you think of the, like, what are the ways? What you need to find out is the language. Oh, you're talking about the blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah, that sort of like you need to find out where, how can my brilliance be applied to your industry? And you have the same meeting with your boyfriend. And then you have the same meeting. You think of all the people you know in your life who are in different industries and jobs and such, and just be like, what, tell me your world. And where would somebody like me fit in your world? Like another place, another way you'd fit into a world is, let's say somebody is a wedding planner and they are getting hot and they are just like blowing up, you know, like Paris. There was this guy named Paris and he did these flowers and he was on Oprah and like his, now he's not really doing the flowers anymore. Now he has the people under him, but he needs somebody to manage all of that. So when somebody's business suddenly explodes, where they are now the face of the business, but somebody actually needs to keep running the expansion, that's what you do. I can help you manage the expansion of a business because this is getting
I see
too much for you to handle anymore. I could totally see you doing that. Google household managers, butler. Now, the word butler isn't a demeaning thing. That is sometimes what they call the
pretty
people.
like high,
Yeah. Yeah. And that's in Europe a lot, but there's the equivalent over here in America, house managers. Look into that world. What's up with that? Like, and what the way you kind of find your way into worlds is you look at who else is serving those worlds, because you might find a professional organizer. Now, professional organizers, some cater to the richer people. I didn't like to work with that clientele, but some people do. You know who else? Closet people, people who design people's closet. You have a person who you're hiring exclusively to design a closet for you. Yeah. And there are professional organizers who just organize closets. So you can ask, like, hey, I don't do what you do. I'm never going to do what you do, but I would like to talk to you about the world that you live in and how somebody with my set of skills could contribute to that world. You just want to start having these conversations with people. And you can say, I'll pay you for your time. Like, I'll pay you. You can talk to anybody if you pay them $100 an hour for their time. Trust me. That's what I used to do. I will pay you for an hour of your time. I'll pay, well, I would always say, I'll pay you this much for an hour of your time. You just want to talk to me. So I would say for the next like 2 months, you want to have like eight exploratory conversations with different people. So you can start expanding your mind around, like, whoa, these worlds exist. And then you want to also be important for you to figure out how you differ from a personal assistant. There are high-end executive assistants, personal assistants, but that might not be the kind of work you want to do because you want more autonomy. I know. You want more autonomy than a personal
I've
assistant.
thought about personal assistant too, and
Yeah.
I'm like,
That's like, we're going to give you a lot of money, but we get your life. This is
I want to act.
different.
I'm an actor. That's what I want to do.
Right. Exactly. So, but you want to have the language. So when people, so that people aren't getting conf you confused with a personal assistant. Back in the day when professional organizing people didn't really know what it was, we had to differentiate ourselves from cleaning people. I'm like, no, I do not clean. You will have to have somebody else clean, but I can move your stuff around. Like, we're going to get a system in place. So you're going to differentiate yourself. Like, no, this is for people who need something run and need systems set up and need structure put in place, who have a project that has a beginning, middle, and end. Perhaps it could be ongoing, but also beginning, middle, and end. And maybe you're the one that comes in and sets everything up, and then they hire someone cheaper just to run it. Then it's almost like, I will help you organize that you can onboard a personal assistant. But right now you don't know what to do with a personal assistant. Because if they've never had one before, they never.
Yes.
Yes, you see, that would be exciting for you. Be like in structure it all, then you can leave. That's what I wanted to do as an organ. I could not believe there was a job where it's like, I always thought, well, I'd get a job, organize the place, but then I was bummed that I had to keep working there. I'm like, now anybody can work here because it runs like I'm bored. And I was like, I wish I could just do that part. And then there was this job where I could just do that part. And you can apply that same thing to assisting. Never had a personal assistant before. You could even go to places that help assistants get hired, nanny, like high end, and be like, if someone's having a hard time transitioning or keeping a personal assistant, it's probably because they don't know how to do it and there's not enough systems and structures put in place and the person isn't able to do that. I can come in and set everything else for someone to run it cheaper than me. And what will happen is they'll want to hire you, but then you can charge whatever you want if they want to keep you. But you won't want to stay because you want to act. So this is the job that people pay you to do, but they have to pay you because you're going to take your attention away from your acting career to do this. Fine, as long as you're getting paid. And then if you're not getting paid, you can put your attention back on your acting career and do that. If you like that, I mean, I can tell that you know exactly, you get this, you can do this. And I want you to make it not a problem that you haven't had traditional experience doing this yet. If you don't make it a problem, most people won't consider it a problem. They're going off of your weird vibes of like, well, I don't know. I was just like, I can do this. I just have to convince you I can. You know? And then your first client, you can do for cheap. I had my first like three organizing jobs I did for dirt cheap because I wanted the testimonials and I just wanted to make sure I could do it and that I liked it when I was, you know, having to do it for somebody else and not just me. And then I was like, oh yeah, great. And then I knew, and then it was off to the races. For you, I think it would take one client. And then you figure what you're doing out, and then you price yourself. But I think these exploratory conversations are going to be really important and connect some dots for you. And then you can always bring back what you're learning and we can talk about it more. But there's people out there for whom the problem is bigger than the money. The money isn't the problem. The problem's the problem. And if you can fix the problem, they will give you some of the money. And it's not just rich people. I mean, the good news for people who can do things like this for the rich is, well, there's lots of people now, more than ever, who have just a butt ton of money that they don't know what to do with, unfortunately. I mean, I could give them some
And I
suggestions.
live so close to the hills. I like take a little stroll and I'm like, these houses are so big, I could walk to work.
Right. But I want to impress upon everybody listening to this that it's not even a rich person. My father wasn't rich. He happened to have enough money to pay for 24/7 caregiving, though, for my mom and him. That's a chunk of change every week that was going out. But he valued the service more at this point in his life than the money. He didn't need that money anymore. He needed someone to be there to, you know, a couple people to be round the clock. So it's not about how much money a person has. It's the value of the problem that you are solving for them. And then they'll figure out the money part. But there's even things in my life that I pay top dollar for because it's like, I don't want to do that. And I want someone I can absolutely trust to do it. I don't just want anybody. I'm not out here trying to get the cheapest person. I want it solved. I want it done now. And I want to not have to think about it because I can trust this person and I will pay extra for that. And I'm not rich. So it's like, it's not about that. It's about you finding the people who are like, oh my God, who is this person who's just gonna like do it all and I don't even have to think about it. And she'll ask me like a question every now and then, and then she'll go away and do some more stuff. Like, amen. And there's people who like to micromanage. Those are not your people. Those are not your ideal clients. Your ideal clients are like, don't talk to me, go away and do it. Mine too. Just go away and do your thing. But as an organizer, those were not my ideal clients. I liked working with the person, but there were other organizers who loved doing moves because their clients were never on the premises. They never even saw their clients. They came in, set everything up, and left. And I'm like, I would hate that. To me, that's not the stimulating part. The stimulating part was figuring out the person and then creating an environment for them. But that wasn't every organizer. So it's great. Everybody services different types of people, and you just want to find out that's my person. That's my person, and that's their price point. I'm so excited for you, Kaylee.
Me too. Thanks. It's so funny that you mentioned wedding planning earlier as well, because I did do wedding planning as a as an internship in college. That was my worst boss of all time. It was fucking terrible. But anyway, thank you so much, Kate. I really, really appreciate your help. Or Christine. I'm so I was looking at Kate.
And Kate, your hand.
I have my hand up as proxy for Carrie, who had to leave. So if you're done, when you're done with Kaylee, I'll let you know.
Okay, great. I don't have anybody.
Okay, are you done with Kaylee? Oh, okay.
We done? Yeah, we're good.
Cool. My hand is up for Carrie. She wanted to hear from you about Black Friday promotions. And I asked her, do you mean pricing, how to design the marketing? She said, yes, all of that. And I looked her up. In addition to being an actor herself, she, sorry, New York, actortransformation.com is her business. So she does coaching for actors and also helps them with marketing, demo reels, et cetera.
Okay.
But she didn't have anything beyond just the general, what are your thoughts on Black Friday promotions?
I mean, it is a time of year where people are psychologically primed to spend some money and to get a deal. You know, some people are waiting to see what deals will be out there during that time. So you coming into the marketplace with a deal is good. The concern is breaking through the noise and getting the attention of the people you want. Now, there's two different things here that I don't know which camp. I know Carrie, I think it's Carrie Nassina, I think. And so we have history together. She used to be an actor. I met her back when we were acting, or when I was acting, I should say. I think she still is. But are you doing a Black Friday promotion to your list of people? Or are you talking about trying to get new people through a Black Friday promotion? One of those is easier than the other. And I think that if you were speaking about trying to find new clients by offering a promotion, that is something that you'll need to kind of do a whole ramp up to it. Because I think it will take a couple weeks for you to get out there and make connections with people who can talk to their people that, you know, let them know that you exist and that she's going to have this Black Friday thing and la, 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 like to prime the pump and get people ready. What you want to do. Because it's this is Black Friday is like after Thanksgiving, right? So I would take like the whole month of November and be readying people, making connections and getting people ready so that you have people going, oh, I'm going to set money aside for this. Springing it 3 days ahead of time, that's what everybody is going to do. And people's inboxes are just going to be flooded. So I would start this whole thing going, oh, guess what's 24 days away? You know it, I know it. Black Friday, the time you get deals. Did you know you could get deals that will help you with your career? That's right. If you like you just start this whole marketing thing and get people like, ooh, kind of ready so they don't spend their wad on something else. So I think if you are reaching out and trying to use this to get more people on your list, it's going to take a campaign to then get those sales. If you're just marketing to people, you're like, well, I have some people on my list. They aren't buying right now. Like these people haven't bought at my regular rates, but I bet there's some people I could be like, if I offered them a discount, they might jump on it. That doesn't take as long of a lead time. You know, you can send out an email at the beginning of Thanksgiving week going, okay. I'm going to be doing this, and it's a special offer, and it's only going to be at this, that, this. And then you email them every single day of that week and see what low-hanging fruit would convert at a lower rate. And I would need to know more about what you wanted to offer because you want to have it strategic, where if it's for new people, it might be a special thing that you create just for them so they can get a taste of your coaching. And but you're not like giving away this service you really have to do a lot of like blood, sweat, and tears for at a cheaper rate. However, if it's to people on your list, you can take something you normally offer and just cut the price if you want to. But you want to just make sure, like, if 12 people buy or 25 people buy, you're not like, oh my God, my whole December is just going to be then fulfilling at a lower rate. I'm going to be ex tired. So there's a little bit of strategy involved. And I hope that gives you enough to then pinpoint what other questions you have for me based on that. But I mean, it's a natural, I like to look, you know, based on the industry you're in, look at the year and go, what's just easy, normal things? That's why people do Valentine's Day sales and or a Mother's Day thing or wedding planners. You know, June is a big month. Like, yeah, you just want to look at what makes sense during a year and then take advantage of that. And this is certainly a time where people have it on their calendar of like, I've been looking, eyeing this stuff. But the trick is the marketing piece is getting people to think about your service. Because the reason they buy the air fryer on Black Friday is because they've been thinking about an air fryer for 4 months and they're just like, ah, but I don't want to pay that much. I want to pay less. And I bet if I hold out till Black Friday, but they have the air fryer already in their head. So what October and November is for you to plant in their head why they need this service and why it's so valuable and how it will make a difference in 2026 based on how the industry is shifting and blah, blah, blah. So you have to plant it so that they're ready to be excited that you're going to give it to them at a discount or you're going to make this special thing that you're selling only once. That's my initial take based on just that information.
I had a quick follow-up on that, and I don't, the nature of her business, I wonder if this would be something that you would sell now, but implement in January, you know, with the like the new year, new you kind of stuff. I don't know.
That's just another way to do it. Yeah.
Or if you'd want to be working in December to get ready for pilot season, which would be in January, you know. There's something about positioning it industry-wise, as well
Absolutely.
as financially.
Yeah. And you also bring up a great point is that you don't have to have immediate fulfillment. You can be selling it after Thanksgiving. And then we're going to hit the ground running in January. And I'm going to give you like two things to do on your own in December. Like you can do it like that. I'm not saying like, oh, and then your Christmas is ruined because you're fulfilling. I just want to make sure you don't get more people buying something that, because, you know, people often sell, like, especially coaches, like they'll sell a big package for like a little bit of money. And I'm like, you have to like now do that. And you're getting like pennies for your effort.
Right. Undercutting your bread and butter. You don't want to do that. So you got to be careful. Yeah. Very cool.
But good point. Good point. Denise. Hello.
Hi there, how you doing? Oh,
Good.
good. I wanted to just quickly touch base, briefly. Basically, I'm still trying to figure things out. And I had mentioned when we last spoke that I had applied to graduate school, at Berkeley for business. I
Right.
was not accepted. I did have an opportunity to do kind of like an exit or like a review of application. And it was really good for me because it brought me a lot of clarity that I was not interested in that school. And I don't necessarily think that MBA is the way to go for me. There was a lot of like simple mistakes that they had made in reviewing my application and their kind of misinterpretation, that I was like, this is Berkeley, like this is $100,000. They wanted me to kind of spruce up the whole like acting experience that I had. And I was like, but I'm not here. They wanted me to just get on stage and talk about how great I was. And I was like, this could be kind of an MBA thing. It could be kind of like how loud you scream from the rooftops. And I was able to get a lot of clarity that I'm really interested in the sustainability field. But that's still feeling a little bit challenging to me in terms of knowing how and where I fit in. I have made efforts to kind of talk to people. I applied. There's a Los Angeles Clean Tech Incubator, nonprofit organization. When I was doing Lyft, I had a passenger recommend that to me. They have a program where they kind of train people, I guess, to participate or find jobs. So I applied for that, but that's not really a fit because you have to be like unemployed or underemployed. So I'm still in the process of trying to figure out my place in that. But I think what's also happening is that I'm feeling somewhat of a sense of urgency, given like the climate, to leave the States. And we had talked about that before as well. So I'm kind of like, well, maybe don't do your like most ideal, setup for if you were to leave. But if you needed to leave and find a job, couldn't you teach English? So I think that's the next area I'm going to start looking at. I mean, I don't know how things are resonating for other people, but I just feel like I'm scared about right now, about these times, and about kind of the trajectory. And I, at the very least, want to have a solid plan in place. You know what I mean? So all I have to do is drive to the airport and get on the plane. So that's just basically where I'm at. That's the short version of where I am. I have been kind of asking people for advice, like, what do you think about this? And, with different levels of success. But I have been kind of going from one survival job to the other side survival job and feeling like I don't get a lot of downtime. So that, plays into things too. So that's where I'm at.
And so, do you have a question in there? Because
I
I
guess
do.
my question would be, do you have any advice on next best steps? I'm trying to formulate a question because that's why you're here. I guess next best steps to maybe try to prioritize my actions. Does that make any sense? Because I think there's kind of like a longer term, and then there's a shorter term, and then there's like a leaving the country, and then there's a how will you pay your bills if you leave said country?
Okay. So There are, you're working on three projects right now, it sounds to me. And they intersect, it's like a Venn diagram. So there's intersections between, not silos necessarily, but one project is exiting the country. Like, what do I need for that? What does that even look like? So exiting the country. The other project is sort of like my next career, like an actual thing you either invest for education in, or you climb a ladder in, or you, but you really are like moving towards a world in which you want to contribute for a longer term way. So your next career. And then it's just short term survival, like short term, pay the rent, get some money in, not be so exhausted doing the side gig kind of stuff, right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, the short term could be like instead of trying to figure out how I'm going to make like a new career work in a new country, if being having a solid plan B to get out of the country is a strong goal of mine, then maybe I should find shorter term goals around how I could earn money outside of the country that aren't necessarily involving my ultimate career aspirations. Does that make sense? So
Oh
like
yeah.
sorry, go
That
ahead.
makes that no, yeah, no, that makes sense. These are things, these are three things that are separate. They can intertwine at some point. Like I'm not like, what's the career that's going to allow me to leave the country that also earns me? It's like you need money, you need an exit plan, and you also are looking into the future of like, well, what do I want to do next with my time and energy and money? And you were like, oh, because that's the only reason you were going to get an MBA is for an investment in the future of what you want, right? So there's that long-term future, there's the short-term present and making it work for you, and then there's the exit strategy. So each of the reason I'm separating those into buckets is because of those buckets requires some attention and research. So since we last spoke, did you investigate like those? I think we gave you some websites and some podcasts to listen to, the Move Abroad Coach. Did I mention any of that to you?
Yes, I did go to the Move Abroad Coach. I need to go back because it's been a while. It's been since we last, and I have good I've had other resources sent to me, like if you want to get European citizenship, one of the things that I'm working on is my father was Trinidadian, but he was an American citizen. So, literally as of September, Trinidad passed a bill or law where if your grandparents are Trinidadian, you can get citizenship. So I've been in communication with them. And that could even be a fourth category because I don't necessarily want to move to Trinidad, but I want to have options. Do you know what I mean? I want to be in a position where I can have a Trinidadian passport if need be. So I've been working on that. Right now, I'm feeling like I would like Panama is where I would like to move to. So, to answer your question, I need to go back to the websites that you guys sent. I did go visit them and then kind of got caught up in all this other stuff. So, revisit that. And I guess figure out like that's the part where I'm like, well, can I just teach English in Panama? I told Miata that I was going to send her an email because she's living there. So I could just say, like, what do you think works best, for you over there and what doesn't? Like, what would you advise me about and what would you say works really well? So that's one thing I can do as well. I would love to visit. So I think probably it's advisable to visit a place before you move there. So I think I need to just kind of maybe write a list of what would if I were to move, what would need to happen, right? Go ahead.
There's a Substack called Borderless Living. Borderless Living. And his point of view, and there's several Substacks about this topic. This is a hot topic, so there's lots of information out there, current, like cutting edge information about living in a different country and all the different countries. Borderless living, he's all about options, and he's about what he calls stacking, where it's like you have multiple citizenships, you got multiple passports, if you can, like to the degree that you can, you have the country you live in, but the country you could live in, like
Oh, nice.
just so that you can pivot. And
Yeah.
so the fact that you're thinking about this is great. And then it's about, but really researching it. And so for you,
Yeah.
and you can use my weekly planning chart, that
Yeah.
would be a good tool to help you. But I would advise you that every single week you move the needle forward in each of those three areas. What's the thing I'm going to do this week about my exit plan to learn more? What's the thing I'm going to do this week about a career? Do I want to get an MFA in another country? Because that's another way you can at
We
least
had, that's right.
temporarily,
We had
you
talked
know?
about that.
And then what is available to me right now to just bring in money so that I'm can sock some away for the exit plan. But moving these three things forward, and they don't have to be to the same degree. You might do three things this week in one and one, you know, they don't have to move together, but they all have to kind of be moving forward at the same time. And
Yeah.
as what will happen as you start to move them all ahead on a steady basis is things are going to start to intersect and intertwine, and you might fall into something that's like, oh, I could actually do that and another country. Like the plan will start to
Totally.
knit, but you have to make the knitting happen. They all have to start moving forward
Yeah.
so they can collide in a good
No,
way.
absolutely. I've been, and I have like, I've had a few conversations about it, like because I do lift, I have lots of different passengers with lots of different areas of expertise. So I had the guy who like created the electric car incentivization in Los Angeles. Like he was in charge of that. So we had a whole conversation and he was like, you want to go to a grad school that has like a good reputation. And so I was like, well, what about in Panama? He's like, best I can do is like Portugal or Spain, because he's like places where you can go. And he was focused towards Europe. I'm not really interested in European citizenship. Then the principal of the school where I was studying, and I said, hey, like, do you have any advice? This is what I'm trying to do. So we sat down and talked. He actually thought it was a date, which it wasn't. So he had no useful, he's married. So he had no useful information. But I feel like I'm trying. Maybe I'm not trying the right way. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to kind of source people. But I will go back and look at the websites and
Because the thing about the people who are talking about it and writing about it now, like podcasts, Substacks, people who have courses, they're collecting the information.
yeah.
It's a more expedient way to wrap your brain around what's going on and what are my options and what are other people doing, rather than it's
Random people.
random people. Like, that's
Yeah.
great. That's great. But also,
Yeah.
now, I don't know if this is true because we've spent very little time together, but I just have like spidey sense that it might be really useful for you to find a buddy. Not somebody who's interested in doing any of this, just somebody who's interested in doing their own thing that you
Yeah.
guys can meet, or at least meet on Zoom or something once a week for like 20 minutes or a half hour.
Yeah.
And you can be like, this is what I'm going to do this week for this. And then they can go, this is what I'm going to do this week for the thing I'm working on. So because it grounds it in, it makes it more real.
Yes. Yes.
Your aspirations with somebody else,
Absolutely. I
because
yes, I
it can get
that's
a
very
little
helpful.
amorphous in your own when it's just you.
Yeah, an accountability buddy, I think, would be a great idea. I did start your course. I'm like, okay, let me try this. And I think I will. I think that's a good idea to get an accountability buddy.
And it's not even It's not even, I wouldn't even, for you, I wouldn't necessarily even use the word accountability. It's like a focus person to make this more real, like just someone so you're not doing all of it alone. And that they're taking what you're doing seriously, you're taking what they're doing seriously. And it makes it less lonely, it makes it more real. And then if you kind of veer off track and they're like, but I thought you were going to do like this week. It can help you reflect on, like, yeah, why didn't I do that? What distracted me? How am I getting distracted from my what I'm trying to do? And if you can't find the right person, then, or it doesn't work, then it might be you actually need a coach who can
I
help you.
think I do. I think I do need a coach. I think so. This is the last thing I'll say really quickly because there are a lot of elements to this whole thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, I shared last week when Miata was subbing that my sister and I recently came into a little bit of money. And my sister, right now, so it was a painting that our father
Oh
left.
yeah, I listened.
Yes. So right now it's kind of in a bit of a holding pattern. She and I have been in discussion about it. She has her like accounting team trying to figure out if there's a way to not have it taxed because it grew so much in value. And so I'm kind of like, okay, well, what's the time frame? Because literally I am working around the clock. I work 7 days a week. I'm sleep deprived. When I am working during the day is when I try to get stuff done. But I have the kids and I'm tired. So the money would help significantly. It would allow me to get to another country. It would allow me to do a few different things. So there's also that I'm in discussion about trying to figure out. But if I were able to access the money, could either afford me more time. You know what I mean? Because right now it's like I'm time deprived and sleep deprived. So that's, I like being able to report into someone, but I do think I could benefit from a coach. I would love to talk to you at some point about your coaching because I would like to get to the point where I can probably come to you.
Yeah, and I mean, but I'm also not the only person because what's interesting is we just talked to Kaylee. Yeah, we just talked to Kaylee and she just said, I'm really good at like researching and managing things and managing the flow. It's not like you have to be her client, but maybe you could borrow her brain for a little bit of money and be like, hey, could I check in with you every 2 weeks and you help me kind of like stay on track for these things that I want to do. And maybe she, for a little bit, like way under what you would pay a coach to just help you move. Like, could you research this, Kaylee? Could you find this out for me? Could you see what this, I mean, she could do a little of the stuff that you don't have the time and the bandwidth right now to necessarily. And I'm not saying forever, you just maybe do it for a couple weeks and see what value you get out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing about a coach is that you don't even necessarily need someone with my expertise. It's good. I could certainly help you, but what you kind of know what you want to do. It's just helping you find ways to get it done. Realistically, because if we were working together, one of the first things I'd want to look at is how can you get more sleep?
Totally.
And I understand the painting, and oh gosh, wouldn't it be perfect? But even if you get this money, you still need to have a plan to get to use it to get to another country. Like that, there's still
Completely.
stuff that it doesn't magically make happen. I understand it would buy you some breathing room, but you also don't want to use
Spend
this
it all.
wad just giving you some breathing room.
Totally.
Whereas you could spend a little bit of money to have someone help you create some breathing room now. And because you have kids, I mean, we all have like this life, and there's things in everybody's life that's different that take a
Yeah.
lot of energy. You have kids, you need to sleep, and you also need to earn the money to pay the rent.
Yeah.
So your forward movement is going to be a little bit slower than someone who didn't have the kids and didn't have to
Well,
like,
sorry. When I say kids, I mean I substitute teach.
Oh, you don't have
Sorry.
children. I thought you had children.
Just that I substitute. I don't have
Right.
any kids of my
Okay.
own, but during the day, they, it's I'm watching them essentially.
Yeah.
So I can't fully, I do get,
Yeah, it's not a job where you can like do your own thing on the side. You have to you're
you
full.
can, but you can't be completely removed. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah.
Not as
Okay.
much as one would think. Yeah.
Yeah. So I
Sorry.
do think you would benefit from bringing some supportive helpers into your life.
Yeah, I
Be it a
agree.
coach, be it someone with Kaylee's like project management kind of stuff,
Yeah.
or a ability buddy. Those are three levels right there, even just three different levels of financial help. But I think bringing as much as you can
Yeah,
will
thank you.
help
And I think
you.
Liana made a wonderful suggestion too around trying to find some clients now. Before I pick up and leave, I could be teaching English to people,
Yeah.
as a possibility and
That's
take
what I'm
them.
talking about. That's the bucket of now money,
Yeah.
income money, then
Yeah.
the bucket of the long-term career and possibly sustainability, and then the exit plan. Those three things. Absolutely. What can you do to find clients now to help
Yeah, because I am working nonstop. Like after this phone call, I'm going to go on work, and it's like I'm tired.
you?
So, so
Yeah.
thank you. Thank
You're
you.
welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks so much.
And I hope that picture does sell soon. I mean,
No,
I want to
it's
have the
sold.
money as soon as possible.
No, listen, it's sold. The
Oh.
just really, really quickly,
Oh,
my
you're
father bought
working on
it.
the tax,
Yes.
getting
Father
the
bought
money
it for
without.
$2,000 in the 60s or 70s. When
Yeah.
my sister, he left it to us. When my sister checked on its value after maybe 10 or 15 years, they told her $15,000. She has like a money guy who referred her to a, not an auction house, but a different place. They valued it at like 290 and they sold it for 375.
Great. And so
Yeah.
now the money is in holding,
Yes.
so you can see if you can tax avoid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has people who specialize in that, but like we're leaving it alone for now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Kaylee, do I have a way of reaching out to her?
Through the platform, through the
Okay.
Mighty Networks Abundance Bound platform,
Great.
you
And
can
do you
search.
mind reminding me of her last name?
I didn't get her last name.
It
Okay.
starts with an S.
Okay.
I'll go on the platform and connect you guys.
Thank you so much, Kate. I appreciate
Sure.
that. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
And
right,
I will
guys.
miss the planner. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good stuff. I'm excited for you. I'm
Thank
excited
you.
for you.
I appreciate your wisdom and support.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right.
Great questions.
Yeah.
Liana, thanks for your input on the
Yes,
language
thank you,
teaching.
Leanna. That was that's a
Really
big
great.
that's a big a wonderful advice, actually. That's a big deal. Thank you so much.
Yeah, get that portable income going. I love
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you so much, Christine.
Yeah. Thank you, Kate. Take good care.
Bye, you guys. Thank you.